Well, happy new year, everyone. With a new year, of course, comes more news stories like Democrats. They are calling for Trump's impeachment again after audio was released of a phone call the president had with Georgia's Secretary of State. Now, Ted Cruz leads the GOP in an effort to challenge the Electoral College, and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. He celebrated New Year's Eve dancing in Times Square with his wife while telling the rest of the city to stay home. We've got all that and much more coming up, and it starts right now. Welcome to the news and why it matters. I'm Hillary Kennedy. Like I said, happy new year. Glad to have you here. I didn't know that I was going to be back here at the table, but I sure am happy that I'm here. And I get to ring in the new year with two of the best, the funniest, the brightest people in the building, Mr. Chad Prather,
host happy of the Chad Prather Show. New year. I wouldn't miss it.
I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad you're here.
Ready for some laughs today, please.
Okay.
And Mr. Rob Eno, our Blaze TV media critic. Glad you're here.
I'm glad I'm here and glad Betty White made it through the new year. 2020 was going to get her.
That's, that's true.
Her and Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was scared.
Good things that came out of 2020, right? Okay, so before we jump into the stories, kind of your feeling, your prediction for 2021, do you have any sort of premonitions of what kind of year this is going to be?
I think it could be a great year. It's up to us. It's going to be determined with what we're willing to put up with, because at this stage in the game, it's not about left versus right. It's about those that are in control and want to influence your life versus those that just want to be left alone.
Love it. Rob?
I think the same thing. It's time to be not afraid to live your life and go through it. But, you know, the pessimist in me says that it's going to be, you know, 2020.2 and worse.
Yeah.
Because every year's been worse, right? We said 2017 could it be worse than 2016, then 2018, then 2019, then 2020.
Right.
I mean, who knows what we have now?
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of people took a break from all the hard news and the politics and all that over the holidays. And so now it's time to jump back into it so that we know what's going on. So we're going to start with President Trump. He's being accused of committing an impeachable offense over the weekend after the Washington Post published audio in which he appeared to tell a top Georgia official to find the votes necessary to overturn Joe Biden's victory in that state. Let's take a listen.
You know what they did and you're not reporting it. That's a criminal offense. And you know, you can't let that happen. That's a big risk to you and to Ryan, your lawyer. That's a big risk. But they are shredding ballots, in my opinion, based on what I've heard, and they are removing machinery, and they're moving it as fast as they can, both of which are criminal fines, and you can't let it happen, and you are letting it happen. You know, I mean, I'm notifying you that you're letting it happen. So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state.
Okay, so now the Post, it published just a 4-minute excerpt of what the newspaper reported was an hour-long phone conversation between President Trump and Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. So that's just a tiny little clip of an hour-long phone call. But I want to get your thoughts. What do you make of the phone call, Chad?
I want him to find 11,780 votes, too. I mean, you know, nobody complains when Joe Biden finds these votes. I mean, where would all of a sudden it pops up in the middle of the night, they stop counting and you come back and there's 100,000 here and there on all these things. Nobody looks at that and stops. Of course, Trump wants them to find the votes. If they're out there, he wants them to find them. He wants them to be counted. I don't see anything wrong with that. This is another media outrage, overreach of an edited conversation that is, they're trying to make Trump out to be some mafia mob boss who's trying to swing his, you know, long arm of the law out there. And it's just ridiculous.
I mean, the media completely took this, I think, out of context. What you have is Donald Trump really believes that the election was stolen from him. Whether or not it was, he really believes it. He's seen evidence. He's got some crazy people around him, Lynn Wood, you know, saying that we should hang Mike Pence over the weekend, a little crazy. So he's got some crazy people around him. But he really thinks that it was stolen. And you know what? I've said it before. I won't trust any other election that's not in person with an ID, paper ballot, hand counted.
Yeah.
That's how I'm trusting elections. It's what they do in the UK. That's what they do in the Commonwealth realms for their elections. Not trusting anything else but that. He wasn't, the media's making it out to say he ordered him to find 11,780 votes. You heard in the thing, he's like, I know you cheated. I know people were cheating. You don't want to find it. From what I've heard, this is what it is. And there's 11,780 votes or 779 yeah. probably that are different.
Yeah.
I want you to find one more so, you know I won. I know I won. I want to win. That wasn't him like ordering him to go manufacture 11,780 yeah. votes.
Right.
So like the media's making it out to be.
What you heard, you don't think this was an impeachable offense, right?
Oh, my gosh. At this stage in the game, Donald Trump can breathe wrong and it's an impeachable offense. No, it's not an impeachable offense. Donald Trump has always been pretty plain spoken in his way. It's not always the most diplomatic, not always the most political speak, and maybe not the best way to say things. He's just a guy who gets the words out the best he knows how sometimes, and he's pretty straightforward with it. And that's just Donald Trump. Talk about impeachable. They already took a benign phone call with the Ukraine, and they tried to make that an impeachable offense, and they impeached him over that. You don't want to look at anything Joe Biden. Again, I come back to Joe Biden. Why aren't we not investigating his ties to the Ukraine and his ties to China? You want to come back and you want to take some little benign statement like that where he's actually making an illustration to his point in this conversation. He's not ordering anybody to do anything.
Yeah. Well, and again, like you mentioned, it is just a small excerpt of an hour-long call, and so a lot of people are upset because they're like, this is completely taken out of context. We're not getting the full story.
Yeah.
So the election tomorrow in Georgia. There's a recent poll that was conducted in Georgia by Survey USA of voters. So they're saying they don't plan to show up for next week's runoffs. 55% of respondents who identify as very conservative, they said the reason that they're going to stay home is because they believe the process is rigged. A concerning sign for Republicans who count on the outcome of this election to maintain control of the U.S. Senate. So it's, if you haven't been following it, it's David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. They're facing off against Democratic challengers John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock. Now, if the Republicans lose, the Senate would flip to Democratic control, leaving the left in charge of both chambers of Congress and the White House if President-elect Joe Biden is sworn into office as they are anticipating. So do you agree with these people's decisions not to vote at all?
I think if the poll, if you read the poll right, it's 55% of the people who said they're not going to vote. So I don't think it's 55% of very conservative people. It's 55% of the narrow band of people that said they weren't going to vote. Just so we get it right, are saying that they're not going to vote because they don't trust it. Like I said, there are people that don't trust this election, that don't trust what happened in Georgia. I mean, they had an audit of the signatures, right? But I mean, was anybody there with the audit, or they just do it themselves?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how do we see it? But it's going to be interesting. I drove through Georgia twice over the past couple of weeks, apparently. We'll see what happens. There were pretty heavy ads on both sides. If you listen to black radio, you were listening to ad, like hip hop stations, you were listening to ads against Loeffler and Perdue. I actually learned how to pronounce her name. It's Loeffler, not Loeffler.
Loeffler, yeah.
Because I heard her say her name on the radio. But and then in the very conservative, country radio stations, things like that, they were going after Warnock and Ossoff. So I think, we'll find out, I guess, sometime tomorrow or in a month and a half from tomorrow after we count the ballots. But we'll find out at some point in time in the future.
It's amazing. I mean, when you see what's going on, I can understand the frustration of people in Georgia. Georgia's become a movie-making capital of the nation. It's got a lot of Hollywood money that's being poured in there. When you got $200 million being pumped in there for Democratic candidates, a guy that's going to sit in a seat that pays $175,000 a year, it's kind of telling how important that the out-of-state money feels that this Senate seat is. It's important because, look, you give them the Senate, we're going to have things like single-payer health care. We're going to have voting aid lowered to 16. We're going to have more and more abortion rights that are going to be passed. And the list goes on. It's a scary thing. I hope people will turn out. And I hope somehow or another that something is exposed, another anomaly that says something's wrong with the system when we see the results tomorrow in Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, it's 55% of Georgia voters who won't vote in the runoff say that they're going to stay home due to a rigged process. 7% of very conservative voters say they are intentionally boycotting the runoffs. How do you think it's going to play out? Just your personal opinion.
I think Perdue won the election and had over 50%, and there shouldn't even be a runoff, but they didn't they didn't recount his race. They found enough in the amount that they found in Trump would have put him over the 50%. So I don't think Perdue should be in a runoff. It depends on who comes out. It's a very close state. Being there, I can't really tell you. If I were to guess, I think we win one, we lose another. Mm-hmm. And you keep 51-49.
Yeah.
Is I think what's going to happen. But I would not be shocked if they lost both.
Yeah. While we're talking about Raphael Warnock, he's got a really big supporter in Alyssa Milano. And a lot of people find that to be concerning because she was such an advocate for the Me Too movement, saying, you know, I believe all women. But he is alleged to have run over the foot of his ex-wife during an altercation that police responded to. Now, the police body cam footage, it shows the aftermath of a verbal altercation between the two of them. They got divorced in November 2019. So the wife did claim that Warnock ran over her foot with a car. Medical examiners found no physical damage. But still, people are saying, you know, you're supporting a man who has these sorts of allegations against him. I thought you believed all women.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with that? Do you think that she might regret her statements that she believes all women? And she was fighting so hard against Kavanaugh. Well,
listen, in the Hollywood liberal world, you can say whatever you want to say, take it back, put it back in play. You can do anything you want to do. You can mix your metaphors and your similes, and you can change the meaning of any word you want. It's incredible what goes on. So she could say she believes all women, but I don't believe this particular woman, or I can believe all women unless it's going to interfere with the agenda that we have for, you know, the left policies if we get the Senate. Alyssa Milano is good at putting her foot in her mouth in a big, big way when it comes to issues like this. This is not the first time she's crossed over her own words in these things. Let me summarize it. She's a moron. And y'all can believe me when I say that about that woman. She's a moron.
What do you think, Rob? Do you think that these allegations are going to affect Warnock at the polls at all?
I don't know. I mean, listening to those radio ads, if the, you know, he hates cops, he, you know, Jeremiah Wright type preacher, mm-hmm. goddamn America, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work. I don't think these are things that are going to work. You know, it's funny that you said that he got divorced in November 2019. I mean, that's a bold move as a preacher. You get divorced in November 2019, and then you decide to run for U.S. Senate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, in the next year, like, you just got divorced, stop going to Disney World,
yeah.
run for Senate.
Yeah.
Right?
And you keep your pulpit.
Right, exactly.
You run for Senate.
You keep your pulpit, right? Yeah. You keep your pulpit. He's like, he's mailing in or audio zooming in, you know, sermons every week still. I thought we weren't supposed to, you know, have that, you know, campaigning in churches. It seems that
right.
black churches are the only churches in the United States.
They get away with it. Mm-hmm.
Democrats
Again, it
can campaign. It comes back to, yeah. And it's, as far as Alyssa Milano goes, if you remember Rose McGowan, I think Alyssa Milano's husband or something is a part of an agency, a talent agency, one of the big ones. And she was making money when his agency was sweeping this stuff under the rug. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's maybe she should just go back to her crocheted mask.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
the big holes in it.
Yeah.
And,
very interesting. Her believe women, I believe survivors.
Hypocrisy at its finest.
Only when she feels like it, I guess. Mm-hmm. All right. So we have to go to break. We do have more to come. But first, I want to thank our sponsor, Omega XL. Whether it is back, knees, neck, or shoulder pain, the underlying cause is likely inflammation. You have to defeat inflammation or it can cause some permanent damage. So backed by 35 years of clinical research, Omega XL attacks the inflammation that's causing your pain, which is brilliant because pain relievers, topical rubs, those just mask the problem. Omega XL neutralizes the inflammation that causes those painful stiff joints and muscles. And there was a doctor that said, with my prescription pad, I can't write anything that comes close to doing what Omega XL does. So if you are suffering with aches and pains and stiffness, you need to try Omega XL. Let's get you started. It's a new year. Let's try it. Order Omega XL now. Get a second bottle free. Visit OmegaXL.com/news. That's OmegaXL.com/news. Or you can call 800-844-4888. That's 800-844-4888. We'll be back in a minute. One thing I love about Ted Cruz, he is a fighter. And he's leading the GOP effort to refuse Electoral College certification. And he is demanding an emergency audit of the results. So this is nearly a dozen Senate Republicans led by him. They announced on Saturday that they will object to the Electoral College certification in the 2020 election. We've got a clip of him explaining why.
And that's produced a deep, deep distrust of our democratic process across the country. I think we in Congress have an obligation to do something about that. We have an obligation to protect the integrity of the democratic system. And so this past week, I spent writing out a position and assembling a group that ultimately of 11 senators that we put out yesterday that we will together object to certification in order to force the appointment of an emergency electoral commission to perform an emergency audit of the election results to assess these claims of frauds. I think we can do that. We can do it promptly. We can do it in 10 days before the inauguration, but I think we have an obligation to the voters and we have an obligation to the Constitution to ensure that this election was lawful.
All right, so these Republicans, which include four Republican senators-elect, they're going to object to the votes of electors from certain battleground states whose election results the Republicans claim were tainted by election fraud. Two House Republicans told CNN on Thursday that at least 140 House Republicans will object to certifying the Electoral College results. Now, neither of these challenges is expected to change the ultimate outcome of the election. But, I don't know, Chad, what do you think about the challenges made by the GOP?
Let's do it. Help me sleep at night. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, what have you got to lose? What do you have to hide? So let's take a look at it and do it in an expedient manner. We don't have to upset the apple cart that much. Let's just take a look at things. If he legitimately won, then he won. I'm not going to go scream at the sky. I'm not going to throw a trash can through the Starbucks. I'm not going to set the local mom and pop store on fire. I'm not going to do any of those things. I'm going to move on as an American citizen and make the most out of the situation. But let's take a look.
Yeah.
Pull back those curtains. Let's see the wizard.
Yeah. What do you think, Rob?
Again, and I know it's something we say all the time, we're a republic, not a democracy. We're a democratic republic. We have democratic elections, but we are a republic. The founders put these checks and balances into the Electoral College for a reason, in case things like this happened. There's nothing wrong with them objecting to the results. There's Democrats that have objected every single time a Republican has been elected over the past 20 years. They've objected to the results. You don't see the media go nuts about that. And in somewhat significant numbers, these are very significant numbers. But you've got over a handful of Republican representatives from the state of Pennsylvania objecting to their own state's election results because Pennsylvania changed the deadline to get the ballots. They changed the way that they would accept ballots, not by the legislature, by a judicial fiat. And that's not the way that elections are run in the United States. You can say all you want that those were legitimate votes and they were real people and they were allowed to vote. Yes, but they voted outside of the rules that were set up by their state for the election.
Mm-hmm.
That is a fact that's like non-debatable.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, and it always goes, and I go back to watching, to being an observer in recounts in my previous lives, it's always intent of the voter that is always the largest and highest bar that you have to pass, which is why I think that these cases, unless you could show absolute widespread fraud and you could prove it, they were going nowhere to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not afraid of them objecting. I think that a commission that could be done in 10 days would be fine. But the president lost this fight when on the Sunday after the election, the American people will give you a very short window. The election was called on the Friday. If within 2 days you weren't able to show demonstrable fraud that was, here it is, here it's on videotape, this is what happened, it's been playing catch up since then. They didn't have a plan going into the election. They were warned by people, including somebody in this building, that this stuff was going to happen. He said it multiple times on air.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn has. Were warned. They didn't prepare. They didn't do what they should have done to be prepared to do it. They've been playing catch up since the election was done, and they lost this whole fight on the Sunday after the election.
Do you think anything's going to come of this, though, by them pursuing it? I mean, do you think it will change anything? If nothing else, I hope it helps instill some faith in the system again. But
yeah, I think there's a lot of people out there who want to still have trust in the institutions mm-hmm. that make America great. And I'm one of those people. That is starting to get to a point where we're questioning everything. And it's okay. You know, Glenn said it on his show this morning. I'm all for questioning, you know, but I want to verify, you know. And so you would wish that it would. I'm not sure that it will at this point, because I think, as Rob perfectly stated, we've been playing catch up.
Yeah.
The administration's been playing catch up. They just didn't act fast enough. This release the Kraken stuff and this coming, what we're going to reveal and all of this just didn't work. And the corruption is so deep, I think that there's just no possible way that they can take 10 days and uncover this and reverse anything.
Right.
Yeah, the whole release the Kraken thing, and then there was no Kraken to release.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is a clip I want you to see. Representative Emmanuel Cleaver, who's an ordained United Methodist minister. He opened the first session of the 117th Congress on Sunday by praying in the name of a Hindu god and then twisting the word amen into a commentary on gender. Here's the clip.
We ask it in the name of the monotheistic god, Brahma, and God known by many names by many different faiths. A man and a woman.
So amen and a woman. The word amen, it's often translated to mean so be it or let it be so. It's a Hebrew word for faithfulness or fidelity. It has nothing to do with gender, which a lot of people pointed out.
He took it from Hebrew to Shebrew right there, that fast. No, I had a problem with everything. You know, the monotheistic god, which means one god, to Brahma, which is the four-faced Hindu god that was birthed out of a golden egg through the belly of Vishnu. Obviously, that is a polytheistic religion. And then the god known by many names of all faiths. It's like this guy, you talk about pluralism run amok with this guy. And then he's going to throw in the Hebrew, amen, you know, amen and a woman. And I'm like, this is insanity at the ultimate level. If this is any indicator of where we're going in 2021, stop the bus. I need to get off. Send me. I want Elon Musk to put me on the first mission to Mars. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Rob, do you think that feminists would consider this a win?
Maybe. I mean, I think they know it's stupid too. I mean, I was 8 years old when I knew that amen meant so be it and it was a Hebrew word. I mean, I didn't go to the United Methodist Cemetery or seminary. Maybe people,
Very similar things.
Yeah. But I didn't go to the United Methodist Seminary. I don't have Wesleyan theology coursing through my veins, but I do know a Hebrew word when they say it. And there was some, I forget who it was. There was a conservative that called him out on it and he called it a Latin word. I'm like, you can't do this. You've got, like, you when you're attacking somebody for something like this, you can't, like, say the wrong language when you're doing it. It's Hebrew. This is just.
Well, and what's funny to me is this is so asinine and insane and crazy and so stupid that even the people who believe in more than two genders aren't pissed off, right? Like, they're not even saying anything about it. That's because it's that ludicrous. But where that becomes important, we talk about the news and why it matters. Let me tell you why that matters, because he's a flunky of Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi wants to pass legislation so that you can't use anything gender specific on the House floor. So that means she's going to be banging her gavel anytime you talk about a chairman or a chairwoman. No, it's just got to be the chair. So what that does is people on the right who typically hold to a traditional standard of language are going to use those words naturally. So it's going to stop their debating. It's going to hammer out their opportunity to pass legislation. These are the kind of nonsensical things, because if you change language, you change culture. If you change culture, you change society. And they're going to use it to change laws and everything else. So they're stacking everything against us with this type of nonsense.
Yeah, the political correctness. It's gone so far beyond where we thought it was going to go. All right, we've got to go to break. We've got more coming up. Stick around.
A women.
A men and a women. Yeah. Bill de Blasio, he may have barred all the other New Yorkers from celebrating New Year's Eve in Times Square, but hey, he still got to party down with his wife there, and a lot of people aren't very happy about that. He told everybody under no circumstances, you know, stay home and watch the ball drop on TV. They put barricades to keep pedestrians away. The only people who were actually allowed downtown were performers for the show and then a few dozen very carefully screened frontline workers. But then, of course, here was this video of him dancing in a just creepy, I mean, he's just creepily dead in Times Square because he wouldn't let anybody else be there. But there he is dancing with his wife. So what was interesting about this is this was even too much for CNN, where a very visibly intoxicated host, Andy Cohen, he reacted to these shots of de Blasio and said, do something with the city. Honestly, get it together. There were a lot of people that were like, really? You've had all these chances to set the example, and here you are partying out on New Year's Eve. So, conversely, Wuhan, China. The Chinese government allowed thousands of people to party in the streets in an attempt to reinforce their false propaganda message that they've handled the pandemic better than the West. So here we've got these two events, one that's basically dead, but with the mayor out partying it down, and then Wuhan, China with thousands of people. What do you think de Blasio was thinking doing this?
He's a moron, too. You just put him in a bottle with Alyssa Milano and shake it up. It's the same. I mean, the audacity of this is a slap in the face to people. Small business owners, restaurant owners, venue owners, you know, Broadway's been shut down. Here you're going to do this on Times Square. You just cancel the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Why even have this? It's a ish show. I can't say what I want to say because it's too late to edit. But I'm just saying nobody respects the governor or the mayor of New York State or New York City. Nobody, no one. They have zero respect for anybody. So to do this is a slap in the face of New Yorkers. That's why this house of cards that we've known as Hollywood and New York falling in on itself, mm-hmm. because it's starting to reveal itself.
So Rob, what do you think about China having their big New Year celebration?
We're finding out today that the Wuhan virus probably was the Wuhan virus and came from a lab that you saw a high-ranking government official from the United States say that all evidence is pointing towards that. I mean, you know, conspiracy theorists, tinfoil hat time. I mean, if they released it to get people sick and sent them around the world, who's to say they didn't have a vaccine or something like that, right. Or they're just lying. Mm-hmm. Back to de Blasio and these absolute idiots in government that think that they can do one thing while other people do other things, and they're not called out on it. Except for, I will give the premier of Alberta, like the governor of Alberta, yeah. Jason Kenney, a shout out, because he actually asked people to resign that were part of his government that flew abroad over the Christmas break.
Mm-hmm.
He actually, it might be the first group of people that are government officials that have actually had repercussions for doing not as they say, mm-hmm. but as they do.
Yeah.
So, you know, at least somebody is
actually
doing that.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about New York. A New York Democrat is sponsoring a bill that would allow Governor Andrew Cuomo to detain people in a medical facility or other appropriate facility if they pose a threat to public health due to a contagious disease. Now, the bill doesn't name COVID-19 specifically, but critics have been saying, it's interesting this is coming in the middle of this pandemic. It states that people infected or exposed to a communicable disease may face medical examinations, tests, and be given medications while detained. Now, the bill was introduced about 5 years ago. They said it was to address the Ebola virus and said there's no intent, no plan, no provisions in my bill to take away or violate any rights or liberties that all Americans are entitled to under our Constitution, either state or federal. However, the bill would allow for detention camps and said it will consider the coronavirus due to its broad language. So, Do you believe that something like this wouldn't violate the rights of Americans?
100% it violates them. I mean, this is history repeating itself. This is what, you know, I read an article today where it says that they're getting in Manhattan Beach, south of Los Angeles, right? They're getting rid of all outdoor seating. So why don't you just go ahead and let's just euthanize the general populace? We don't want them here anyway, because humans are the vile creatures that make the climate warmer and make everybody sick. And let's just get rid of everybody. So let's just all drink the Kool-Aid and Jim Jones style it and be done with all of these idiotic people out there that make our lives so miserable. Except for, of course, the Bill Gates and the Faucis of the world and all of these Jeff Bezos and the elites and things like that. It's time for the people, especially of America, to stand up and say, no more. Damn it. No more of this. We're going to hold you accountable. Bill de Blasio wants to dance in Times Square. Well, he's not coming to eat in my restaurant. I can tell you that. You're not welcome here anymore. Make them carry the ID cards. Let's detain them. That's where we are in America. And until we stop trying to be this morally correct group of people that dots every I and crosses every T and take it to the streets revolutionary style and say, you remember the British? They lined up on the streets and they played by all the rules. We shot them from behind trees. Now, I'm not advocating for violence yet. But I will say this, there's going to come a time where we have to break some freaking rules, especially when the rules don't line up with what we believe to be right here in America constitutionally.
So I want to talk about some rule breakers really quickly. The LA Super Spreader Task Force detained over 900 people. They issued arrests and fines for nearly 100 people partying during some New Year's Eve raids.
Right there. That's violence. People say, well, you're advocating violence. They're enacting violence on these people.
Well, what's interesting, most of these parties were in private homes, like upscale homes, vacant warehouses. There was one in a DoubleTree hotel and some of the shuttered businesses. But it was mainly people in their late teens and early 20s, they said, but they detained over 900 people. 90 of them
so
arrested.
We're
given
gonna,
citations.
People are in their own homes with their own people. So we're going to round them all up and put them in a jail right next to each other.
There you go.
So there's zero social distancing. This is about making examples out of people. There's no, we've seen it state after state after state after state. There's no actual enforcement mechanisms. Mm-hmm. They went out there. These people are probably going to get off. And I mean, they're 19 to 20 year olds, which means they have a 99.998% chance of surviving the virus, according to the CDC, which says that people under 50 have that large of a percentage to it. It's absolutely unbelievable. I think what's happened in this country is we have, and as agnostic as they come, but we have societally replaced God with government. So we don't believe in an ever after anymore. We don't believe that there's something to life greater than ourselves. We believe that what we have here is all we have, so people are afraid to die, and they're letting their fear of dying stop them from living.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to be unafraid, and it's time to live your life.
Amen. You guys are bringing some really good
truth. So be it, and a woman.
And a woman.
Amen, and a woman, that's
take
right.
Take the Hebrew to the Shebrew.
Well, and we're about to go to break, but I mean, at what point will Californians say enough is enough? I mean, like I said, it's mainly kids in their teens and early 20s. That makes perfect sense that they want to be social and hang out with their friends and celebrate New Year's Eve. I mean, they need that interaction.
There were somewhat violent protests in some businesses against this yesterday. I think you're seeing, slowly but surely, you're seeing more and more people have enough of this. And they're starting to go out. And I think the government's realized that they don't have it. Of course, they're botching the stupid vaccine. You know, they're not giving it to people. That there's going to be so much vaccine that's going to expire because state governments couldn't get their acts together on how they were going to distribute it. But, of course, that's Orange Man Bad's fault.
That's 100% Trump's fault.
Right. Isn't everything right at this point?
It is in my world.
If the sky's blue, it's his fault. Yeah, right. All right, so we've got to go to break. But when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about Iran ramping up their uranium enrichment to near nuclear weapon levels. This is some scary stuff, so you definitely want to stick around for that. So we'll be right back. There are some very real concerns about what Iran might be planning for the U.S. So they have begun enriching uranium at 20%. This is a technical step away from the 90% level needed to produce a nuclear weapon. This is happening at their underground facility at Fordo. Now, the regime had previously been enriching uranium at 4.5%, which is still in violation of its 2015, their nuclear agreement, though this is obviously at a significantly lower level than the 20% they are now working with. Also, this information came on the same day that Iran's Revolutionary Guard seized a South Korean oil tanker. Under the nuclear pact, they weren't permitted to enrich uranium at over 3.5%. But obviously, this is why President Trump removed the United States from the agreement in 2018, saying, hey, they can't be trusted, and that they were continuing to construct a bomb despite the restrictions in the pact. He was saying, we can't trust them at all. But of course, now that Biden looks like he might be involved, the U.S. may rejoin the pact. So anyway, last week, top Iranian officials suggested that they may attempt to assassinate Trump in retaliation for U.S. forces killing Qasem Soleimani. He was the terrorist leader that they killed in a drone strike a year ago. At the same time, U.S. military leaders said they were bracing for an attack as the anniversary of Soleimani's death approached. So this is a whole lot of things going on, but they all point to something not good. What do you think Iran is planning?
I think Iran is trying to have some chips on the table to get another couple billion, trillion dollars worth of pallets sent their way with cash. I think that that's what this is. I don't think they are stupid enough to launch a nuclear attack at the United States because they know that their country will be completely wiped off the face of the earth. I think that you're going to see without Trump's leadership in the Middle East, which has been the best leadership of any president in my lifetime, and I was born in 1973, so that's pretty much the entire, a good chunk of the Arab-Israeli conflict. He has Arab states and the Israelis actually having diplomatic relations now. I think we were this close to having it happen with Saudi Arabia, but then he didn't win re-election. I think if he had won re-election, you would have seen it happen with Saudi Arabia. I would not also be surprised that if they continue to do this, that you would unsurprisingly see a joint strike force with some of the Gulf states and possibly Israel in the first ever joint military attacks by them on somebody else. So I think that there's a... It's going to be very interesting, I think, in the next few days. But I think this is just them trying to get some bargaining chips so they can get another couple planefuls of cash.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Saber rattling in order. Well, they smell Joe Biden in the air, right? They know that this is Obama 2.0. They know they can get more out of, and Trump was hard on them. And now that Trump's out of the way, that's why they follow it up with revenge and stuff like that about Soleimani. Trump's very hard on Iran, rightfully so. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah. How do you think the Biden administration is going to handle Iran?
Well, I mean, has anybody heard Joe Biden come out from his from behind the podium of his office of the president-elect and really come back strong against anybody or give any inspiring ideas or projections about anything at this point? I mean, up to this point, he's talked about mandating masks and getting rid of Trump tax cuts and things like that. I haven't heard anything, any inspiring ideas. There's nothing that makes me want to just stand up and go, yeah, Joe Biden's our president.
Come on, man. It'll be fine.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. It'll be fine.
Lion dog face pony soldier.
All right. Glenn talked about this on his radio show this morning. This is kind of a fascinating mystery. The Chinese billionaire who is behind the e-commerce giant Alibaba and the online payment processor Ant Group, he's suspected missing. He hasn't been seen in more than 2 months. His name is Jack Ma. His net worth is estimated at nearly $50 billion. He's one of the most influential men in China, and he was last seen in public at the Bund Global Financial Summit. This was in Shanghai on October 24th. That's the last time anybody's seen him. At the event, he was saying his Ant Group IPO was the largest listing in human history, but he also, in a speech, mentioned that China's current system presented a serious problem in China. It's affected a lot of entrepreneurs. He says they have a pawn shop mentality. So following those remarks, China's security watchdog canceled Ant Group's $37 billion IPO. Authorities summoned him for questioning. And then in December, Ant Group was forced to restructure its operations in order for its IPO to be approved. It cost the company billions of dollars from its anticipated valuation. So anyway, he also has a TV show and he missed the final episode. It's called Africa's Business Heroes. It pits African entrepreneurs against one another for a chance to win a $1.5 million prize. This is a really popular show. And a spokesperson for Alibaba said, oh, he wasn't able to attend due to a scheduling conflict. But it was really odd that he didn't show up for the final taping of his own show. So
he couldn't get out of the camps with the Uyghurs?
Yeah,
that's the scheduling
question.
There is no freedom in China. There are no private companies in China. They all have state control at some point in thing. They let people have a little bit of fun and you can be your billionaire, but you know, you got to keep your money in China. You can't take it out of China. And we ain't going to let you leave if you say something against China. I mean, that's what China is. And that's why I get so upset with my libertarian, but my liberties friends, the libertarian smart set, that's like, no, we should have free trade with China. You don't have trade with a country. You have trade with people. In the case of China, you are having trade with a country that owns all the means of production. They are a communist state. They have concentration camps. They're practicing genocide. They are not people that we should be dealing with on a day-to-day basis. It is very hard to not buy Chinese goods. Mm-hmm. I try my butt off, but it's very hard not to. Mm-hmm. And I think the more people that do, the better we'll be.
Yeah, and you have to always, to your point, you have to always separate the Chinese government from the Chinese people, right? But unfortunately, everything is controlled by the Chinese government, and Jack Ma is probably laying somewhere with a bamboo shoot growing through his chest. This is a horrible regime. It is a horrible country. It's a horrible way of doing things, and somewhere out there, Jack Ma is not doing well. I can just tell you that.
Well, he is one of the wealthiest men in China. Do you think anybody is going to say, hey, where is, because...
No,
they don't have the ability. It was either that he said those things about the Chinese system or he started selling Winnie the Pooh sheets on Alibaba and they got mad. But, you can go to jail for like mentioning Winnie the Pooh in China.
Listen, Apple is controlled by China, right? They're controlled by China. Your Apple products, 100%. Get on an Apple product and try to Google some kind of parody of Xi Jinping. Try to look up something of him wearing a dress or some kind of weird made-up meme. It doesn't exist. Now, you can find that of Vladimir Putin. You can find it of Kim Jong-un. You can find it of Donald Trump. You're not going to find that of Chinese leader. Right. You're just not going to find it because they keep that stuff so restricted. They take it seriously over there.
I think Jack Ma's found that out. All right.
Actually, isn't it Jack him? Because it's my... I don't know.
Don't even try to sort it out. Let's just stop right there.
All right, on that note, we're going to go to break. We're going to come back with our question of the day. We want you to be a part of that, so stick with us. you hear it all the time. There's a lot of hair. Last question we asked you guys before the break was, who is more dangerous, the woke, the socialists, or the establishment? 53.2% of you said the establishment. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts?
I would tend to agree with a thing like that. I don't think the socialists, although they're a growing group, have not come on the scene strong enough just yet. If the socialists become the establishment, we're definitely in a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm.
It's always the establishment. It doesn't matter who you elect. They all do the same thing.
Right. Yep. Our question today, do you think the election is over?
Well, I just don't think they're going to overturn any level of corruption that is going to significantly make a change at this point. They're too late to the game with this.
Yeah.
They were too late, like I said earlier, on the Sunday after the election. So, no, it's over. Joe Biden will be president unless, the Hunter stuff, as soon as, there's always the thing that on January 7th, all the Hunter stuff could hit the fan, and then we get President Kamala. I'm still holding out for that, but we'll see what happens.
Well, maybe it's just because it's a new year and I'm extra hopeful, but I'm saying it ain't over till it's over.
Right.
I'm waiting till the last second before I throw in the towel.
Yeah. I'm still in the fight. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm still in the fight. Still, we're doing the D.C. thing on the 6th. We're still in the fight. So
good. We're going to fight on. All right. So if people want to know more about you, watch your show, where can they go?
WatchChad.com. Absolutely. One-stop shop for all the fun stuff.
Wonderful. And Rob, people want to follow you on Twitter?
At Robino, on Parler. I got a little Twitter problem right now. So at Robino on Parler.
Oh, gotcha.
So
yeah, Parler's a good place to be. I'm on all the things, too. Thank you guys so much for watching. We will be back here again tomorrow. Hey, I hope your 2021 is starting off great. Positive, happy, hopeful.
Happy New Year!
We've got to be after 2020, right? Like, we've got to have a good attitude.
Absolutely.
After what we went through last year.
Got to be a good one. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
It's going to be as good as we make it.
That's a good attitude. You guys brought a breath of fresh air and some positivity.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
What do you know when I do?
Try.
Well, that's why we had to have you on for the first one back. You got to bring the smiles. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the News and Why It Matters. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to watch the program, become a Blaze TV subscriber and start your free trial now at blazetv.com.